So in one of my first videos that has long been censored off my channel, but is re-uploaded again and again and again on other channels where it can last for a while, I spoke on many of the topics I will address in this video, but with the added transformation that has taken place in the last 10 years. Put simply, we're facing a blunt and inconvenient truth about the modern world. When female sexual selection runs completely unchecked, societies start to unravel. Now, what is this new accelerant that I'm talking about that has gotten us in this mess? Well, put bluntly, it's called hoeflation. Social media likes, endless online simping, and nonstop "you go girl" messaging has convinced many average women that they deserve only the absolute top-tier men. Standards aren't just high, they're delusional. Perfect height, income, looks, charisma, and endless thrills. The idea of partnering with a solid, ordinary guy? It's dismissed as settling, and now it's treated as some kind of insult. Hoeflation isn't just some fringe slang. It's the toxic byproduct of a dating landscape warped by technology and cultural shifts. Women bombarded with validation from apps and followers inflate their own perceived market value to absurd levels, shutting out the majority of men who could actually sustain a family. And what does this do? It creates an increasingly negative feedback loop. Fewer commitments, more casual hookups with elite few, and a growing underclass of frustrated males. It's not empowerment, it's entitlement run amok, turning potential mothers into perpetual shoppers who never buy. Tied inseparably to this is hypergamy, the hardwired female drive to mate upward, always seeking higher status, better genes, more dominance. Evolutionarily, it makes sense. Chase the proven winners, those with a string of partners proving their desirability. But here's a key point often missed in the blame game aimed at feminism. Removing traditional restraints, shame, religion, rigid roles, didn't invent female sexuality. It simply unleashed desires that were always there, long suppressed by societal controls. For centuries, women were channeled into modesty and restraint, not because their drives were inherently weaker, but because unchecked expression threatened the social order. Now, with those leashes off, women pursue what attracts them most, often bypassing the average provider. The chaos isn't new empowerment gone wrong. It's human nature revealed when structure vanishes. Men expected to always lead the chase, but reality shows women selectively pursue the elite, leaving many of these men sidelined. But in a controlled society, this instinct has always needed to be harnessed and then channeled into stable pairings, and it was done so to build empires. And when these urges are unfettered, it becomes destructive. Women flock to the same small pool of alphas who often prioritize conquest over commitment, leaving swaths of capable men reproductively invisible. The result? A mating market that's exacerbating breeding resentment and starving societies of the broad-based reproduction needed to thrive, or at the bare minimum, survive. Now, while the modern world sidelines most men, there is one proven way to make yourself biologically elite without waiting for anyone else's approval or permission. This powder pulls off three things clinics charge 10 grand for, but it's FDA approved, so tough luck for them. It releases bone marrow stem cells, makes you 27% harder to kill, and floods you with nitric oxide. It's like ordering the full stem cell menu with the cherry on top, but chocolate instead and dirt cheap. And it's not hype. Top herbal expert Dr. Simon Mills explains.
Dark chocolate is a medicine, end of. It's one of the best medicines around. Is 50 grams, 100 grams of 75% or more dark chocolate. Brain health as well, cardiovascular health. They do studies where they've put cocoa into volunteers, that means students usually, so young kids, and they were able to show changes in the blood flow within minutes, certainly within an hour, of eating cocoa. Beneficial changes in your blood flow.
They call it the heart medicine.
Yeah, heart circulation, brain. But it also, of course, we know it contains a few other beneficial stimulating effects. Sort of similar to the effects of the coffee, which incidentally, as I've already said, is a medicine as well. But cocoa and chocolate does have an uplifting effect, which is why we love it so.
The secret of dark chocolate's flavanols. Regular processing kills them, just 50 milligrams in normal chocolate, but Black Forest packs 1,200 milligrams of pharmaceutical-extracted active ones. Normally, supplements can't claim benefits, but the FDA approved one for cocoa flavanols, saying they support heart health and cut cardiovascular risk, because the evidence was just too strong to ignore. Studies prove a sharper brain in cognitive tests, 80% better blood flow, and 27% lower death risk. And that's from Harvard's 21,000-person trial. Me, myself, well, now my memory's computer sharp and my libido is at teenage level. I also sprint stairs. It's made in the USA, and right now Black Forest has an incredible Christmas deal, 40% off their best-selling cocoa formula. Available for 48 hours only and ends forever soon, as skyrocketing cocoa prices mean it'll never be this cheap again. So choose it over slow decline and stock up now and take control of your health before someone else does it for you. Think of the term incel to be involuntarily celibate. Well, it's now used as an insult to be hurled at men because they have no luck with women and are thus shut out of the mating game altogether. And many, many, especially women, think it's funny. Together, hoflation and hypergamy don't just disrupt dating, they erode the foundations of civilization. When most men are sidelined, family formation stalls, birth rates tank, communities fragment, and social cohesion crumbles. Motivated men drive innovation and defense. Disenfranchised ones withdraw or rebel. Many, many of the women discarded by alphas, or chads as they're known, end up isolated. They delay motherhood or end up childless, as biology says, no, you waited too long. This isn't abstract, it's a blueprint for decline, where individual whims trump collective survival, leading to demographic voids that are filled by migrants or automation. Historically, no empire survived this imbalance. Sexual restraint was the glue. Loosen it, and everything unravels. In the United States itself, the numbers are brutal. Recent data from 2023 to 2025 show that nearly one in three young men, around 28 to 30% or more in some surveys, report no sexual partners in the past year, a sharp jump from previous decades and far, far higher than that for young women. This isn't balanced. It's a stark gender gap where a small minority of alpha men hoard most of the romantic and sexual action. Dating apps like Tinder and OkCupid expose the skew ruthlessly. Classic data and ongoing patterns show something close to the, drumroll please, the 80-20 split, where the vast majority of women's likes and matches flow to the top 20% of men ranked by looks and status. The rest, they're fighting over crumbs, often shut out entirely. No great civilization, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, has ever lasted after handing women full sexual autonomy. The civilizations that did dominate, well, they enforced strict patriarchy, arranged marriages, male authority, and restricted freedom. These weren't cruelties. They were engineered for societal survival, guaranteeing reproduction, unity, and strong lineages. Landmark studies like J.D. Unwin's review of 86 cultures showed that strict monogamy and sexual restraint fueled cultural peaks and innovation, while loosening the reins triggered rapid decline in cohesion and vitality, often within generations. Moreover, echoes appear across the fallen empires of history, where moral and sexual laxity signaled their endgames. And now our bold experiment in the West with full emancipation, Well, it's showing the same warning signs faster than expected. Feminism sold empowerment but delivered regret on a mass scale. Divorce explosions, single motherhood normalized yet often chaotic, careers trumping kids, and an epidemic of loneliness with the vast number of women that are dealing with mental health issues. Moreover, and this is very important, women's demands for equality also clash with the lingering expectations of a perfect provider, and thus shrinking the pool of realistic matches for the modern women in the West. Birth rates crash hardest where choice is widest. Even in non-Western South Korea, well, it's seen a recent monthly uptick in births through 2025, with fertility edging up slightly to around 0.75 in 2024 from a low of 0.72 in 2023, but it remains critically below replacement levels, with projections still forecasting massive population shrinkage. So, countries like Japan, well, it robots its way through shrinkage. Europe is graying out, and astonishingly, even hyper-controlled North Korea can't escape. Fertility hovers around 1.8 or lower in some estimates, below replacement, despite propaganda and pleas. In 2023, Kim Jong-un, the dear leader, teared up publicly at a mother's meeting begging women to have more children for the regime's survival. Proof that these trends defy even so-called dictatorial nations. And the government? Well, its response is that they need to plug the gap with mass, unrelenting immigration. They want to import younger, higher fertility populations to keep economies afloat. Strangely, however, it is mostly men that are arriving to the point where some receiving nations are now finding themselves with gender-imbalanced populations. But this so-called short-term fix, what does it provide? Well, long-term fracture, cultural clashes, strained resources, native displacement. And this is not an accident, it's policy. And this is because elites thrive on chaos. Cohesive families breed independence and resistance. Atomized people are very much easier to steer. Crashing native births trim future challengers. Immigration delivers cheap labor and division. Throw in anti-family messaging and control tightens. And what everyone should understand is that perhaps the West might be too far gone for quick fixes, in that if real recovery is even possible, what it can only mean is rolling back, in that perhaps reviving arranged pairings with vetted matches, but more importantly, restoring male oversight in family choices and elevating motherhood as a duty rather than a whim. In that, it might have to come to the sacrifice of some personal freedom for the group's endurance and survival, because unchecked individualism is a luxury dying societies can no longer afford. Now, let's go back and dig a little deeper into the ironic twist I mentioned earlier. On a raw evolutionary level, hoflation and hypergamy could be spun as a net positive because they combat dysgenics. Think about it. These forces ruthlessly cull the herd, filtering reproduction toward the strongest, smartest, and most dominant traits. And weaker genetics just get sidelined. Only the elite, the alpha, will be the ones propagating. In theory, this would sharpen the human stock, producing offspring with higher potential for survival, innovation, even beauty. It's nature's brutal meritocracy at work, weeding out mediocrity and concentrating on excellence. Some might argue it's a self-correcting mechanism in overpopulated times, ensuring quality over quantity in the gene pool. But here's the harsh reality. This benefit is a poison chalice for civilization. Sure, you might end up with a more beautiful, sleeker, more capable remnant, but at what cost? Societies aren't built on isolated superstars. They thrive on broad participation, stable families, and motivated masses. When hypergamy locks out the majority of men, resentment festers, productivity drops, and social bonds, well, they snap. Women chasing the unattainable via hoflation, well, they delay or skip motherhood entirely, accelerating the very population crash that invites chaos. The result, not a eugenic utopia, but a fractured wasteland. Fewer children overall, demographic imbalances, and cultural erosion. Historical empires, think Rome. They fell not from inferior genes, but from internal decay when instincts overrode structure. This filtering might fight dysgenics in the short term, but staves the engine of civilization, which is widespread reproduction and unity. Now, I'd love to hear some of your ideas on potential systems that could harness these drives without letting them run rampant in the comments section below, because we basically need something, or we'll optimize ourselves right into oblivion. And it should be said, this isn't hate, it's just a cold observation. Unbridled female selection erodes civilizations. The evidence is glaring. Ignore it, and we join the historical civilizations that make up the dustbin of history. So what do you think? Leave me your thoughts in the comment section below. And if you liked the video, please give it a thumbs up on your way out. And if you'd like to help the channel, ways of doing so are in the description. It'd be very much appreciated. Also, remember to check out Black Forest's Cocoa Flavanols. Link is in the description. And take control of your health before someone else will. And with that, I'll see you in the next video. Bye for now.